Second part of our Chazara. This one is going to be a little bit harder to fit in. First of all, the shiurim were longer and more involved. And second, I was more tired when I prepared the Chazara version of it. I'll leave it to you to decide which one is the real culprit. But we did spend three shiurim talking about the relationship of Poel and Eved. So here's where I want to go with this. I want to ask the question of how we understand the Poel relationship in general, Jeffrey's question, outside of the framework of Eved. Just in general, what is this Poel relationship between the employer-employee? Number two, I want to talk about the nature of the relationship between Poel and Eved as seen in the Poel's ability to walk away. We will see the three schools of thought on that. Is the Poel an Eved? Is the Poel not an Eved? Is the Poel something like an Eved? We'll discuss a few circumstances in which one is allowed to become an Eved. That's where I want to go with this. What I want to omit is the whole discussion of Kavlan. The reason being, Rav Sammy already dealt with it somewhat in his Chazara, and since elements from my Shiur already made it in, I figured that's what's going to have to leave the boat. The discussion about Poel and Kavlan. For anyone who is truly masochistic, you can go on YU Torah and catch the recordings from the first time round. So, fair? Okay? What is the Torah's conception of an employer-employee relationship? So Halacha has a few different ways to look at this relationship. At one point in the Gemara of Metzia, Daf Pei Amud Beis, they talk about the issue of a porter, right? Not the airline, the guy who's carrying your barrels. So you hire somebody and you overload him. And it discusses the possibility that you are called a mazik, you're called a vandal by harming him. The structure of the relationship in the Gemara seems to be that of a partner in a business arrangement. Just like any other business arrangement, you have an agreement. Whether it's in a written contract or not, doesn't matter. The saying that to the lawyers in the room. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that there are partners, but also the person who is doing the work is under the protection of the boss, particularly if he's on his property. So the boss actually has a status of a shomer for him. And that was the Rashba and the Mordechai on that Gemara above Mitzia. Finally, a third way, which doesn't really have halachic ramifications so much, except in certain extreme cases, and that is that the Poel is really a recipient of tzedakah. The Poel is somebody who is being helped out by the boss. We noted the Rambam on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, Yiyu Aniyim B'nei Beisecha, right? That he says it doesn't mean that you should welcome Aniyim into your home. It means that if you have work that needs to be done in the house, you should hire somebody for whom this is meaningful employment. It's a form of tzedakah. Where this does have an application is the unfortunate case of the murdered maid, right? In the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer deals with a case in which the maid passes out. The lady of the house is very distressed and wants to help her. She thinks she's going to pour brandy down her throat, and she accidentally pours kerosene down her throat, and the woman dies. There are variations of this in various tshuvos. You send somebody on a trip to deliver a letter, and then he gets hurt on the way. So what's the extent of your liability? So one of the points that's made by the Chasam Sofer in his tshuva there is that you're doing a good thing for this person by giving them a job. Don't forget that. You know, it's not just a partnership. You are a Baal Chesed. Some tshuva may well be required, but don't dismiss that element of the relationship. Either way, or really it's three ways, right? Whether you take it as a partner in a business arrangement, whether you take it as they're under your protection, whether you take it as they're actually your beneficiary, the duty to pay them will be a function of those partner protector, tzedakah, recipient relationship. The reversal shachter adds an element to it in Eretz HaTzvi, as we discussed, that the Torah creates an obligation for those who are the recipients or the beneficiaries of somebody else's work, that you have a responsibility to pay them. Beyond lo salin, don't delay their payment beyond whatever was agreed upon or the default of sunset. There's a separate rule, sunset or sunrise, some discussion. There's a separate rule, tehischayvus haTorah. The Torah obligates you to pay when people do work for you, right? The classic case that we've discussed. Somebody comes into your field and works on your field without your knowledge. You have to pay him for the improvement that he made in your field. How you pay him, he has the lower hand, because after all, there was no negotiated agreement in advance. But you are going to need to pay him, which creates a very interesting question. Is the relationship with a Poel Bein Adam LaChavero or Bein Adam LaMakom? Is it a social relationship or is it a religious relationship? According to what Shachter is promoting, it seems to be the latter or both. Right, there's certainly a religious component to this. Okay.
Is this applied to a non-Jewish person who came onto your property and improved it?
Interesting. The general rules that we're giving apply to Jews and to non-Jews. The question in that case in particular, I don't know of any literature on the issue. I'd have to look. It's an interesting question. So there are, what about this Eved Poel thing, right? Which has its application in terms of the ability to leave the job midday, which is why it becomes an issue in our perek. So we have three approaches to the relationship between the Eved and Poel. And again, what it has to do with being able to leave. The first approach is, and this was the most controversial, and it certainly took us the longest time to discuss, a poel, an employee, and, you know, with apologies again, we use the term employee very loosely. It's not quite parallel to the way it exists in secular law. But a person is doing a job for you and being paid based on the time invested is what I will say loosely as the definition of poel. He is an eved. He's a slave in the sense that he is hired for that particular period of time. And because he's an Eved, he's able to leave midday. Where do I get the idea that he is, after all, an Eved? So you have that Yerushalmi in Bava Metzia, which I brought you in, source Beis. We are not going to go through it right now, but I brought it there along with that very necessary Ritbaz, who helps make sense of the of Al Daite the Rab Ben Poel Ben Balabais Yochalachz of Al Daite Rabbi Yochanan. He gives you a nice way to read that line. But the upshot of it is that there is Kinyan Avdus for a Poel, and according to Rabbeinu Meir, quoted in the Chuvas Maimoni among other places in source Dalid, because the poel is a form of eved, he can leave. Because an eved can leave. You thought, because that's what everybody always says, that a slave isn't able to leave. That's not true. The slave can buy himself out. So the poel is able to, so to speak, buy himself out. How does he buy himself out? By forfeiting what he was going to get paid for the rest of his time. That's really what the eved's buyout is. The only difference between the eved and the poel is that the eved received all the money up front. So he's actually going to have to repay whatever was left, whereas the poel just doesn't receive whatever was left. That's the position of Rabbeinu Meir. So a poel is able to leave because he is an eved. Really a remarkable idea. I really like this idea. No one else does, but there are some challenges to this. The first challenge was from the Gemara in Erech and Daf Chavtes, which is, we don't have avadim today. What are you talking about? That really won't bother Rabbeinu Meir. That will only bother the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is the one that said there's a Kenyan Avdus. Mm-hmm. Rabbeinu Meir didn't say that. He just said it's the same style of agreement. So Rabbeinu Meir is still intact. The second problem that we have is that the practical contractual arrangement of a poel is not the same as that of an Eved. The length of employment is different. We had two psukim. I brought them here in sources Zayin and Ches on the sheet. One from Sefer Devarim, the other one from Yeshayahu, which seemed to say that a slave is working for 3 years, or at least 3 years. A poel doesn't necessarily have that term. Indeed, the Gemara in Kiddushin in Zayin Amud Aleph says that if a slave only works for 3 years out of his 6-year term, he's fine. If he works less than 3 years, he's going to need to make it up. And the assumption is that that's based on these psukim, which indicate that Avdus is indeed a 3-year term. Even though when you look carefully at the pasuk in Yeshaya, that's probably not what Yeshaya was talking about at all. He was saying that it's like an eved, like a sahir, in being precise in the calculation of the term, as you can see if you look at the end of Yeshaya Perachaf Aleph. Nonetheless, for this reason, because we position the Eved's work as a 3-year term, there are poskim who prohibit taking a job of 3 years. Because that will make you like an Eved, and we don't want you to be an Eved, as we're going to discuss a little bit later. The Rama brings this if you are living in the home of the Balabayas. However, we had multiple reasons why we were not really concerned with this, right? One is that other factors demonstrate that he's not an Eved. He's not Gufo Kanoi. Also, the fact that an Eved who sells himself can actually hire himself out for any number of years. It's not a 6-year term. An Eved, if you're selling yourself, you could sell yourself for 2 years. We don't have any such set term. And the poel is also not really samuch al shulchan obekvius. He doesn't eat at this guy's table in an ongoing way. Although we did note that some argue that samuch al shulchan may apply to any situation where you're relying on the salary for support. And then the last item within this challenge. challenge, right? Again, we're in the second challenge. The second challenge is that the contractual arrangement of a poel is not the same as that of an eved. Number one, the length of employment. Number two, I see what I did on here. Okay. I made a mistake in my notes. Number two, the poel is not eating at the table of the balabayas, bikvius. And number three, you don't get to marry a shifcha. The boss cannot marry off a shifcha to you to produce vladas, to produce children. Although you could argue that's also because he's like a mocher atzmo, and the mocher atzmo may not have a shifcha according to Rashi. The third challenge was that the poel doesn't have the benefits that an eved gets, right? All those nice benefits that we talk about. He gets the best bed in the house and all that. The Chazon Ish notes that doesn't apply to a poel. For those who are foolishly trying to follow along on the source sheet, the Chazon Ish is in source sheet base. But the Chazon Ish says that we're not giving him all of those benefits. Again, you could argue maybe Mocher Atzmo, someone who sells himself, is different. The second benefit he doesn't have protection from Avodas Parech, the protection from crushing work or demoralizing work, as we saw in the Rambam. Granted, the Sefer HaChinuch says that as Derech HaMusar, it's a nice thing to do, and Rabbi Dr. Aaron Levine seems to think it does apply to a poel. The general assumption is that it does not. I mean, you can't surprise him with a Avodas Parech. If you hired him saying that you're doing one thing, you can't switch his job. But that's breach of contract. That has nothing to do with Avos. And a third way in which the poel lacks the benefits that come to an Eved is he does not get Ha'anaka at the end. Right? The gift that you're supposed to give the Eved at the end of his term. Granted, the Sefer HaChinuch says that you should do it to be nice. I brought that here on the sheet as well in Source Yud Gimel. Nonetheless, it's certainly not an obligation. And the poel is not paid for the time when he is ill. We said that if the Eved works for 3 years, he's okay, even though his term was for 6 years. The Eved, the poel who works for 3 years, is getting paid for 3 years. Doesn't that show that he's not an Eved? So some argue that it doesn't actually show that he's not an Eved. It doesn't change his Eved status. The difference is, as I said before, the Eved received his full payment at the time of the purchase. So we're not taking it away because he couldn't work. However, the poel isn't paid yet for that. We're not going to make the boss pay him for the rest of the time. That was Rabbeinu Meir's explanation. The Tashbetz had a second explanation. He said when you hire an Eved for 6 years, you expect he's going to be sick at some point. You hire a poel, you think the poel's showing up. That's the difference. Of course, then you ask, well, what if you hire a poel for a 6-year contract? Right? Then what do you do? Okay. The fourth challenge to saying that Eved is a poel is the last challenge in the set. I really should have tabled it on the sheet. Mm-hmm. Apologies. The fourth is the legal structure of the boss-poel relationship is not the same as an Eved because the poel is not gufo kanui, as we alluded before. He is not actually bought. Tosus in Chulin and Tosin Kiddushin Yud Zayin makes that point to explain why a poel is not paid if he is ill. You could make the argument that even an Eved is not really gufo kanoi. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin seems to say that an Eved Ivri is not fully kanoi when it talks about whether he can eat truma working for a Kohen. And frankly, Rabbeinu Meir seems to think that a poel is gufo kanoi like an eved. But generally speaking, that's not our assumption. Right? We talk about it in Shir. If you want to look at the Shach Shin Lama Gimel Chafei and Shin Lama Gimel Mem Zayin, he brings you that Rabbi Meir thinks that the poel is actually gufo kanoi. He is acquired. So it's very funny because I began this sub item, by saying that the poel is not like an eved because the poel isn't gufo kanoi. But now we've noted a view that the eved isn't gufo kanoi, and we have a view that the poel is gufo kanoi. So we can do away with this challenge, I suppose. But this is all within the first approach. Or we can reverse the challenge and say, yeah, the poel is not like an eved. The poel is gufo kanoi, and the eved is not gufo kanoi. But the second approach to it is that, no, just the opposite. You want to know why a poel is able to leave the job in midday? It's because he's not like an eved. Not because he's like an Eved, because he's not like an Eved. This view will clearly agree with the things that we said before about the poel-employer relationship. And many Rishonim take this view. Tosus in Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Amud Aleph takes this view. I brought it in Soros Yud Zayin. Kili b'nei Yisrael Avadim. He understands that you're not allowed to become an Eved, as we're going to come back and discuss. So he asks, so why is it that you're allowed to take a job? And the answer is, because taking a job is not Avdus, as evidenced by the fact that you're able to walk away. He says, Eved Ivri is not able to go away. Don't tell him about what we said before. That's Tosfos. And that seems to be the view of the Ritva as well. The classic Ritva in Kuf Yud Zayin, quoting the Ra'ah, he himself is quoted in the Beis Yosef, which I brought you here in source Yud Ches, who says that if a worker makes a kinyan when accepting the work, he's not allowed to leave early. And yes, the conclusion, as we discussed in the Shurim, is he's not talking about making a kinyan with the intent of being unable to walk away, but it's a byproduct of having made a kinyan, despite the fact that there are some who seem to think it otherwise. I think that is the clear read of the Ritva. So he says that if the worker makes a kinyan when accepting the work, he's not able to leave early, meaning it's a forgivable right. That seems to be the idea. So that shows you that a poel is not an eved. He has the ability to leave. Then we had a side debate. Does that kinyan actually work to bind him? Right? The Beis Yosef, quoting the Ritva, thinks that it does work, but others argue that no, he is still able to back out. And the reason is because the ability to be chozer is automatic. It's built in. Okay, we talked about that in the Shach in Shin Lamed Gimel Yud Aleph. That's your second approach to why you're able to leave. One approach, you can leave because you're an Eved. Second approach, you're able to leave because you're not an Eved. And then the third approach is, you're able to leave in order to avoid being an Eved. That a poel is very similar to an Eved, and we don't want him to be an Eved. So we say, alright, the way out of it is, you can leave at midday. And within this view again, the definition of the poel-employer relationship is what we said in the beginning of this Chazarashir. This is the position of the Maram Rotenberg, which I brought you here in source Yud Tes. He takes that position. He says the poel is fine. It's okay to be a poel unless you create Eved style conditions.
Eved for 7 years. You can put himself up after 2 days.
He could.
You don't just wait another year or 2 years.
No, he's not like a field. You're thinking of when? No, he's right. When you have a field that you sell from your family fields, and the rule is you're allowed to redeem it, so he has to wait until after the person who bought it has 2 years. In this case, though, it does not apply. He seems to be able to redeem himself right away.
Right.
Okay, so Marami Rotenberg says a poel is fine unless he creates Eved-style conditions, and this takes us back to the Yerushalmi that we saw in the beginning. I did not bring it here on the sheet as well. It's earlier on the sheet, where Rabbi Yochanan says that there is an Isser, as explained by the Radbaz. He said there's an Isser for both the boss and the worker to create Eved-style conditions. And this is, in fact, brought in the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Tzadi Zayin Tezvav, that you don't force a borrower to get a job to pay off his debt. Why? The Sma says, Kili Yisrael Avadim, Avadayim, they're my Avadim. And now let's take a deeper look at that. Why is it that we don't want him to be an Eved? So we saw Tosus in Bava Metzia already, who said, Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim, Avadayim, they're my Avadim. Not anybody else's. Tie into that, Laharas Nasser, Nasser Gishtetner, quotes you the Gemara in Kiddushin Chav Beis Amud Beis, which says, also, that's the one about puncturing his ear, right? To say, hey, weren't you there at Har Sinai when I said, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim Avadayim, not Avadim La'Avadim? Granted that it's not said at Matan Torah. Nonetheless, everything's Nisinai. View number two view number two is that the issue is based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Avadim, I brought it here for you in Source Chav Aleph, that somebody is allowed to sell himself as an Eved, because the Pasuk says, Ki amuch achi chaymach v'nim karloch. A person becomes impoverished, he is able to sell himself. Haraya, only if he's impoverished. If he's not impoverished, he's not going to be allowed to sell himself. View number three was the Ketzos. The Ketzos says that it's actually a dirabanan. We asked the question, or Sammy asked the question when we read this, does he mean to say that the prohibition against taking a 3-year gig is dirabanan, or does he mean that the prohibition against becoming an Eved is dirabanan? And I noted that the language of the Pesachei Choshen, when he quotes this Ketzos, is that the Ketzos is actually saying the whole thing is a dirabanan. The Yisur against becoming an Eved is a dirabanan. And then view number four on this is that there is no Isser. There is no Isser. Tosus in Gin, Daf Mem Aleph, which I brought you here in Source Chav Gimel on the sheet, says, I don't understand. You have this business of the fate of the half Eved, half Ben Chorin, right? The Eved was owned by two people in partnership. One of them freed his half, and now he's stuck. He can't get married. So Tosus asks, why is it that a half Eved is not allowed to sell his free half to become an Eved in order to be mutter to a Shifcha? And he says, the answer is because his freed half is a ger. And a ger is not able to become an Eved Ivri because he's missing B'Shavel Mishpachto at the end of the period of being an Avdus. So Tosus says that. Why didn't he give the answer of, no, you're not allowed to, because Kili, you're not allowed to sell yourself. He seems to think that it's not actually an Isser. Okay. Who is liable for this Isser, such as it is? So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's language in Source Chav Hey is very clear that it is the Adon, the master. Ein Rishus La'adam L'Shabeda Zulaso. You are not allowed to enslave somebody else. So there. Whereas Tosus that we saw above Metzia Daf Yud seems to say the Isser is with the Eved. The Isser is not with the Adon. And then, of course, Rav, Rav in the Yerushalmi, as read by the Ridbaz, says that it's actually both. Sorry?
I was just going to say that. Why doesn't everyone just say both?
Because the language in the Psukim is very vague. Oh. Right? In other words, when you're dealing with Halva, right? We had, if you remember when we did Ribbis, right, we had all sorts of discussions about how you know that both the Malva and the Lova are in violation. So I would need clearer language. But yeah, if you look at the Ridbaz on that Yerushalmi, at least one view within Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, I wrote here Rav, but I thought it was actually Rabbi Yochanan, so I'd have to go back and take a look, says that it's both of them who are in violation. Okay. Within this view that the Poel is too close to being an Eved and therefore we want him to stop. It is Rav who says both. Okay, my notes are correct. It happens. But within this view, the Poel does not have the right to forgive his ability to leave midday. Right? If you say his ability to leave midday is because he's not an Eved, he can change that. Right? That was the Ritva's Kinyan. However, if you take the view that he's obligated to keep himself away from being an Eved, then he can't forgive it. And indeed, that's the position taken by the Shach. The Shach writes that making a Kinyan that's going to prevent you from backing out is actually Masna Mashikasa Batorah. It's the Shach I brought you in Source Chav Hei. He does not like that idea. Okay. Now, the first view that we said that the Baal is an Eved is a really difficult rule, is a difficult approach to take. But we do find certain halachos applied to Poelim from Eved. So, for example, Mechila does not end the relationship, right? The Mordechai had that case in which the boss fired the worker. The worker said, okay, and thought he was done. And then the boss tried to retract having fired him. So the Mordechai writes from Rabbeinu Meir that since Poel is like an Eved, Mechila doesn't end the relationship. It's like he doesn't say you need Shtar Shechur, but nonetheless, another is that Rambam on Onah. Right? The rule is that Onah, the issue of cheating on prices, does not apply with workers' wages. So there are three different views as to why, but the Rambam's view is because the Poel is like an Eved. And an Eved doesn't have Onah. Hokush lekarkos. So that's very interesting that even though we don't like the view that Eved equals Poel, nonetheless, it has halachic ramifications. Within the third view, which is that the Poel is close to Eved and we want to avoid that, we have two interesting questions. What about if you leave midday in ways that don't express freedom from Avdus? The point of being able to leave midday is to not be an Eved. What if you leave in a way that says, ha, I am an Eved? Now what? Specifically, the two cases. One, if you leave or threaten to leave in order to get a better salary, work has gone up in value, you want to take advantage, or leaving to take a different job where you're going to continue being an Eved. These aren't an issue if you take the first two views, right? If you take the view that he's allowed to leave because he's an Eved, so he's allowed to leave. Fine, you're done. If you take the view that he is allowed to leave because he's not an Eved, okay. But within view number three, we have this question, and really there are two reasons why we have this question. Number one, does the special license to leave include negotiating a better deal, or is that effectively unfair to the boss? right? It's unfair to the boss. We're going to give him the right to leave so that he can now negotiate and get more money from the boss. Number one. Number two, does this special license apply if he's perpetuating his office by going to somebody else, or is that then the right to leave, not a diminution of his abdus? So some argue that if he's trying to get better wages, he's not able to back out. That's the position of the tour, quoting the Ri. I brought it for you somewhere on the sheet, I thought. Oh, there it is. Yes, source above. Thanks. The tour quotes it from the Ri. I can't find it in an actual Ri, but the tour quotes it from the Ri, and the tour knows what he's talking about. The others say, no, it's fine to back out for more money for two reasons. Number one, your motivation doesn't matter. The rule that a poel is able to leave is fundamental to the rule of a poel, to keep him from being an eved, but it's fundamental to the relationship. Therefore, it doesn't matter why you leave. Your contract is not a binding contract. That's the that's argument number one from the Erech Shai quoting the Imre Esh. Reason number two is that the premise for our question is wrong. Backing out to take a different job or to get more money doesn't reflect being an eved. This is what free people do. You know, go ask the TDSB, right? That's what happens. I feel like I said the same thing when we did it in Shir, but it's still like just dragging out months later. Still make the same joke. The Aruch HaShulchan indeed says you are allowed to back out to get better wages, but Yod HaWala Tachtona now. You will now have the lower hand. Some argue that he may not back out if he does it in order to take another job, because again, it's like avdus. The Ri did not say that explicitly, but the Pistei Tshuva thinks it's an obvious application of the Ri's point. The Pistei Tshuva, which I brought you in source Chav Zayin. However, the implementation is very difficult now. So how long does he have to go without taking a new job? So the Chazon Ish says, wait until the end of whatever your first term of labor would have been. But the logic here is really, really difficult. Taking another job does not intensify your avdus. Again, free people do this all the time. Suppose they tend to ignore this. That's the upshot. They tend to ignore this as a factor. Under what circumstances is one permitted to become an eved? So the first one is obviously poverty. We saw that already in the Rambam. The Rambam also gives you a little bit of a definition here of the level of need. It has to be that nothing remains for him. That's when he's able to do that. Another potential heter for becoming an eved is to perform a mitzvah, right? For two reasons. Number one, the Chavos Yair's position, you aren't an eved la'avadim, you're an eved Hashem. So he talks about somebody who takes a six-year job as a chazan. And he says, you're really an eved Hashem. He's less sure about a rav and a shamash, but he's sure about the chazan being an eved Hashem. And then heter number two is to argue, no, it is a problem of avadim la'avadim. However, you're going to do a mitzvah. The mitzvah overrides the isser of avadim la'avadim. And that's the position of the Chazon Ish, which you see here in Lamed. And then the last heter is in order to support a spouse, where the Gemara in Ksuvos has a fine for a husband if he is a moreid. And that includes financial merit when he says, I'm not going to support my wife. So Tosfos there has two different views regarding the duty to get a job in order to support one's wife. Rabbeinu Eliyahu says you have to get a job. First of all, because otherwise you're a moreid. And second of all, because you said so. Vano Eflach. Right? The Ksuvos says, I'm going to work. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. And he says, there's no duty to get such a job. He says, as the Gemara of the Moreid is talking about where he refuses to support her equal to her Masi Adayim. The money's there, he just refuses to do it. And he says, Vana Eflach is about working in the field. You own a field, so I'll work in my field. It's not about getting a job. We had more to say on that, but that's the guts of it. So hopefully this was somewhat clear, especially these three different reasons for why he's able to back out. Thank you very much. Wow, wait, we have 5 minutes to go.